What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
So the question really is, how into Saw are you?
Oh, yeah. So no. I guess I'll go first because I'm probably the least out of everybody in terms of what I've seen, maybe.
No, I think all of us have not seen many Saws.
I've seen Saw 4, or at the very least, the beginning of Saw 4, but I feel like I remember
The
beginning of Saw 4, it's the one where the guy, I think he's like a pedophile or something, but he is he's like strapped to a bunch of things, and he has to chop out his eyes with, like, there's a device. If he just presses the device, he'll chop out his eyes, or his arms are going to be like just ripped, arms and legs are going to be ripped off his body. So that's how it starts. And I feel like it ends. Ooh. I don't fully remember the ending, but I just have an image of like somebody up on a thing and they're in like a big warehouse, like sort of the way this one ends. this one reminded me a lot of Saw 4, but I imagine they all sort of remind you of the other ones. But particularly the way the start and ending like setups and how they go about, like, felt very similar to me.
I have no idea because I've only seen the first Saw.
Okay.
which is great. Danny Glover is in that.
That's one that we could do. I feel like people
we could make he's not necessarily the main character, but he is the detective.
One. The first one.
He's the detective, but that's like, but there are two people in the room, and it's a movie that takes place mostly in one room, you know, and there's some other stuff happening, but it's not.
Oh, really? I have not seen the first Saw.
Yeah, because it's the first one is more of a psychological thriller, and there's like that there. The mechanics of do something horrible to your body to save your life is the main thing. That's why it's called Saw. You know, you have like the person has to saw their arm off to get out of the trap.
And is it that way every time? Like every time, the way to get out is to saw your arm off, or no?
No, it was. It's just the legendary part.
That's what I'm saying. It's not
one.
This elaborate. Yeah.
In the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not this thing where there's like multiple traps.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And but you're right, because like the first one, I think there's only like two real traps that Danny Glover discovers. But like after that, it just became like, how do we be really grotesque really fast? Like the first one, I think is the fourth or fifth most highest grossing like horror film, because it was only like $1 million to make, but made like 100 or something million. I remember seeing it in theaters. You lose. When that motherfucker wakes up at the end, baby, that motherfucker just, that body just sit up and just a little stumble out. Woo! That shit was crazy.
Wow. Huge spoiler.
It's been out for 20 years.
Spoiling movies.
That movie is over 20 years old.
You know.
You said they had to saw his
saying,
arm
man.
Off. You said he had to saw his arm off. You started.
Well,
this
I know, but the movie's called Saw. You know, it's and it has like a that picture in the
they didn't
poster,
know he had to saw his arm off.
I don't know. Well, so I feel like you're taking this down spiral. Book of Saw. Yeah, man.
You know what? I want credit for that. I want John would never have gotten that title in. If I didn't say
what?
The ending, that's
but
mine.
He also,
that's mine.
Okay, I just can I if you mind if I may, I just feel like you could have said it. It just feels like you're taking us on a spiral from the Book of Saw. Do you know what I mean? You said, you just said Spiral Book of Saw. You know
what I mean? But I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not trying to do anything. I was explicitly talking about what Gerard was doing because he started bringing up spoilers that didn't say spoiler that nobody asked for. And he's trying to tell me that I was spoiling, but I wasn't. He was specifically taking us down a spiral from the Book of Saw.
What is the title makes me so mad. The title
that is half of mine.
Is ridiculous. All right.
I'm claiming that.
Oh, that's the title for this movie that we're reviewing?
Yeah, stop you this. Know damn Whoa. Well it's the title. Stop acting hey. Like
I Stop. Didn't know. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to take us down a spiral from the Book of Saw.
How'd you do it again?
Let's start the show!
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man. Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
Hello, Detective Bird. When was the last time
you saw
your father?
I don't like this. I don't like it.
In doing the... Okay, hold up. In doing the voice, and I know, you know, he's dressed like a pig it's a little bit. There's a little voice, bit of it? Muppets. There's a little Muppets in it. It's like almost a Muppet.
There was one
it's
joke.
That's the original Saw voice, right?
No, it was more sinister than that.
It's more like, do you want to play a game?
Yeah. And it was that creepy little puppet with the jerry curl. First of all, why did they put that little puppet on a bike?
Yeah.
That little nigga had a bike. I was like, why this puppet got a bike? I would be scared of this puppet when he riding around on a bike. Get your little ass out of here.
Do you want to play a game?
Is that Kermit?
Detective
Kermit. For those of you listening for the first time, this elegant, masterful voice that you're listening to right now that feels like it should be the commander of a vessel.
What?
It's Jonathan Braylock.
That was probably... I feel disgusted. I feel dirty just listening to that. This nigga said... should be the captain of a vessel.
I just
vessel.
Want them to know who's who.
You want to be in a submarine? You trying to be in a submarine? That is your pitch of voices. Oh, God.
It could be a submarine.
It's my time, Bray.
A ship.
Stop it. All right. This voice is... No, I'm not even saying what my voice is. I'm Gerard Milligan.
And this voice Fox. Is James the Third.
Why
are we
audience?
Doing this?
Nope.
Oh,
this voice.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So why are you talking
this
so
slow?
This voice right
That's
here.
That's the voice they're going to be hearing for
the
rest of the episode?
Whole episode.
Oh, okay.
Not going to change at all.
No, you're not. He's going to give up Great. On that voice in 2 seconds.
We'll see about that, won't we?
Okay, awesome. For those of you who are listening for the first time, this is a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors. We talk
yes.
about them in the context of race. And diversity in Hollywood. Voices.
Yes.
And today we are reviewing Spiral. This from the Book of Saw. This is the 9th film in the Saw series. The last one came out in 2017, I believe.
Yeah, Jigsaw came out in 2017. Same writers.
Wait, so Jigsaw already...
2004.
Wait, so Saw already had a spinoff, and now it's another spinoff?
Yeah, well, it already had a copycat, which may not have necessarily been a spinoff, you know? Like, they were just like, hey, look, we got one more in us, you know?
Oh, Chris Rock wanted to do this.
They've done this with a few horror films where... Like the latest one they did it with is Paranormal Activity, where the horror film becomes popular and then they go, great, sequel every year, literally every single year.
Yeah.
Saw came out in 2004, and then Saw 2 came out in 2005, Saw 3 came out in 2006, 2007, Saw 4, 2008, Saw 5, 2009, Saw 6. So 6 years in a row, a Saw movie came out. Oh, no, sorry, 7. Saw 3D came out in 2010.
Ugh. Damn, what?
And then Saw 3D was called The Final Chapter. So they had 6 Saws in a row, 7 Saws in a row, with Saw 3D being labeled The Final Chapter. Then in 2017, 7 years later, they came out with Jigsaw. Now we have Spiral.
Now, why is it Jigsaw from the Book of Saw also? You know what I mean?
Whoa, what the hell is the Book of Saw?
Yeah, because there was a book. No, because if you go back and look at the book. Yeah, it was a book. You got to go back and look at it because in the clues.
Because he always wrote in a book. He had a journal. He had a journal, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, he had
He didn't have a journal in the original.
No. He had it. You got to go back. If you just go back and look at it, pause the tape. Pause the tape. There's a journal. And then when you look at it, it says it's called the Book of Saw, you know.
Got it. Well, yes, Jigsaw, the movie Jigsaw, the guy died in Saw 6, I believe. Sorry,
he was
Saw
dying
7, Saw 3D.
The whole time. This motherfucker was like supposed to die in the first one. Oh, goodness.
I think he died in Saw 3D. Oh, wait. No, I'm lying. He's dead in this one, too.
I thought he died early.
Saw 4, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. And then there was a copycat or someone that took up the mantle the rest of the time. And then maybe there was some reveal that he was still alive. Maybe. I don't know. But because I haven't seen them, obviously. But I thought that the thing was that, like, Jigsaw actually died already. And then there was a copycat.
And Saw 4, he was already dead. Okay, so who cares? There are multiple copycats in this universe. This movie stars Chris Rock. Chris Rock wanted to be in it. He pitched it,
apparently.
This was all him. It was all him.
Well, I mean, it wasn't all him. It was these guys came up with the... it was them working together. Chris Rock was like, I want to be in Saw. I could do it like this. And they were like, that sounds good. Maybe we'll do it like that. You know, ba-ba-da-ba-da. Anyway, back and forth. That's how they pitch. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, because apparently they already had the script. Clearly, Brady, that's what happens. They already had the script, and it looks like he went in and added the comedic touches.
Yeah, wow, we'll talk about it when we get into it, but it is so funny.
The comedic touches.
It's just so funny that he's for the first like 3 scenes that Chris Rock is in, he's doing stand up. Like he's just his lines of dialogue are all stand up for like 3 straight scenes. Lord. And then we start to learn about his character.
Literally at one point he says to the new partner, right. Yeah, you can give a woman 4,000 Tuesdays, but you miss 3 Sundays. I mean 3 Saturday nights. So like, bruh, this nigga is doing divorce bits
but that is his stand-up he talked about how he, you know, when he was doing stand-up he wasn't free on a Saturday night for I don't know, a decade. I don't remember how long it was. I'll start. I really liked this movie. I thought this movie was great.
Sorry, I forgot to say that it made $40 million at the box office.
Damn, that's no money, right? Or no? Is that okay?
Yeah, but it came out during COVID. Pandemic time. So $40 million on a budget of $20 million is decent for you know, pandemic release. Because it came out in May, and I didn't get my vaccine until the end of May. You know what I mean?
Oh, it came out in May of this year?
No.
May 14th.
This is one of the first movies back.
We were doing this like really late for some reason.
No. But go ahead, James. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
No, I mean, we didn't do it when it came out in theaters, but... You know.
Right. No, I just thought... Yeah. I don't know why I thought... Yeah. Okay, well...
It was supposed to come out last year, but...
I really liked this movie. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was really well written. I have a couple issues, things that we can talk about it, I guess, when we get into it, like things that I thought that either like it was like, oh, this didn't seem to make sense, or that like it seemed like they were setting up something that they could have delivered on a little bit harder. I do feel like we were talking about this off mic. I do feel like you can kind of call who the copycat is kind of early. Like it feels a little, I don't know why it feels a little obvious, but it did feel a little, obvious to me. But I don't know. I thought it was really well written. I thought the characters were really rich. The mystery was fun. The deaths are all insane, and like the traps are impossible. There was no, they're like, there was no getting out of these traps for these people. Like, I don't know. My memory of Saw 4, that's again, the death that I described at the beginning is the only one that I remember. But like, yeah, had that guy chopped out his eyes, he would have got out of that trap. Like the trap would have stopped. But he was just too slow. Kind of like the guy with the tongue at the beginning of this. Like if he would have just jumped, I don't know how long he would have survived bleeding out in that way, and like when he would have gotten medical attention or whatever, you know. But like it's like, yeah, man, if you just jump off of this thing, you might have a chance. You might have a chance. But all of the other ones were like, there was no getting out of this. Like they're done for. Like you know. So like that was like, but they kind of explain it at the end, like the new Jigsaw is like, yeah, like I want them dead, I want them all dead, like that's what I'm doing this for. So you know, I don't think there was actually a point of them to be able to actually get out. That's just the torture, that's just another element of the torture, I think. I thought Chris Rock was great. I thought the comedy was funny. Samuel L. Jackson was really good. Yeah, I had a good time, except for being extremely uneasy in all of the like the torture stuff.
This movie has a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No one cares about Rotten Tomatoes. Let Rotten Tomatoes. Someone say to them.
Sometimes.
I don't care about what they say.
I'll be caring
ever.
Sometimes.
Like right, never.
What you want to go, Jerome?
Yeah, sure. I ain't like this movie, man. But the thing is, I don't like torture porn. So, honestly, I hesitated.
Or
like
most
once.
Movies.
No, I love movies. Okay, I enjoy them. This podcast has changed how I look at them, which is pissing me off. But like, I just don't like torture shit. Like honestly, the opening with the tongue thing, I was like, I honestly cut it off. Came back, and I'm gonna be real. I fast forwarded through all the torture scenes. I'm like, I don't care about this.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
It's not
my
scary
hand was above
point.
My face the whole time. Like, I was like, I can't look at this.
I don't know.
Some of them,
it was so weird.
It's just gross.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need this, man. I will say, this came at the time of like, you know, Chris Rock's, you know, renaissance. Like, I think like, I watched him in Fargo. I was like, oh, my man is killing it. And in this movie, I see what he was trying to do. I just think the way they wrote the script, he definitely supposed to be one of those hardened cops, but he was almost too hard. And then we didn't get enough time of him building with the partner. And so like, you know, when whatever happens to the partner, you're like, it's not enough yet. Like they had like one smile that they shared. And I was like, that's not enough. But it's not that it's bad. I just don't think I would have ever liked it. Cause I just don't like scare me, but don't just gross me out. Like that's not, it's not scary. Like the Babadook had no blood. But that shit was wild. You know what I mean? Like it follows crazy. So like, I just don't need you to gross me the fuck out for no reason. Like all the Saws and the hostels. I was like, why are we doing this? Anyway, yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was fine. I thought Chris Rock's performance was great. I thought the woman from, what is her name from Vegas Vacation? I used to have a huge crush on this woman. And instantly when she popped up as like, what was she, the chief? I was like, Vegas Vacation. She was the daughter. And she was also on 24, which was also a great, great show. So I loved her. And then Sam Jackson, you know.
Oh. Damn, she was the daughter in Vegas Vacation?
She was the daughter in Vegas Vacation. She was. I used to be in love with that girl, man.
Wow.
And in 24, she was like one of the
she's definitely beautiful.
Love. Fell in love.
Got it.
But yeah.
So yeah, I mean, For me, it's interesting, you know. I think this movie is worth talking about because they like kind of try to do something which they don't, I'm assuming they didn't really do in any of the other Saw movies outside of the first one. Because again, the first one was more about the kind of psychological thriller of it, as well as there was a kind of like surprise, not really, it wasn't really a twist or anything, but there was just a surprise at the end that happens that you're like, whoa, you know. But this movie didn't have a surprise. I think like the reason that we all could kind of tell what was coming is because there was like two options.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like, yeah, there are two options. If we know who the killer is, there are two options for the killer. It's either this guy or that guy. And, you know, and then the movie was like, we want you to think it's this guy. And then it's like, okay, right, great. So then it's the other
guy. Definitely this, so other,
it's obviously, guy. It's definitely this other guy because you want it to be a twist. Yeah, you know, I completely agree. Like the gross out, I never liked any of those torture porn movies. I never watched Saw sequels or Hostel or those sequels. There was like a in the like early the 2000s, the aughts, man, like horror movies loved to do torture porn. It like became a thing. Yes. Like, let's just show the most gruesome, disgusting deaths we can on film. I remember like House of Wax. I watched some of it. I couldn't watch, like, this dude was like, you know, like embalmed in wax, and so then when the person was trying to take off the wax, they were like basically peeling off this person's skin, and I was like, this, yeah, is disgusting.
Yeah, like
that
kind of
happened in this movie too.
Happened in this movie too.
It's, yeah, it's gross, and it makes me want to throw up. That said, it was interesting that this movie came out. That this movie was supposed to come out in 2020. This movie was filmed and ready to be released before. In fact, it actually would have came out pretty much right around the time George Floyd got murdered.
Oh, wow.
It was caught in the summertime?
If COVID, it was supposed to come out in the summertime. It was supposed to come out May 2020.
Oh, wow. Not during Christmas?
So think about that.
Yeah, this is like the reverse of like Let's Be Cops being released at the time that it was released. Because it like came out right around the time there had been some... I can't even remember because there's been so many, you know, unarmed deaths at the hands of the police. But like it's the opposite of that, right? Like this is a movie like taking down rogue, corrupt, you know, corrupt officers. Cops.
So you kind of like, and once you get a sense that that's what's happened, I mean, you kind of get a sense right away because the first person who dies, that's what the guy says, that you've like put a lot of innocent people in jail. And so that's the thing, weird thing about this movie is that you're kind of like, you're like, I mean, this torture stuff is gross, but I'm not on the killer side.
Yeah. My thought when it was over was like, huh, what are these sequels going to look like? You know, like what would...
Well, no. See, now that's the one thing. It can't... What sequels? No. It's over.
Well, right. But like, but they, you know, Jigsaw 2 is still in the wind. He's in the wind. You know,
I
know, but like they could... They could
it is,
keep doing
no, it. So they, I'm sure very, they...
Yeah. To me, I think they could. There is something very relevant about a movie just taking down dirty cops. Because to me, at that point, the thing I would want at that point is I would really want you to talk about the ways in which corrupt cops have like skated. And then literally, if you have all those torches, like to me, look, man, we know in America, we know how the police department was started. Like, I think it can go for a while. It's just whether or not people want to see bad things happen to bad police, which I think is very interesting. And then the fact that like Chris Rock was supposed to be the good cop, I'm like, interesting.
Interesting. I mean, it almost was too interesting. It almost was because in this sense, this movie didn't need Saw. Like, it didn't need any of the elements or universe of Saw.
It didn't. I mean, yeah. I guess it made for.
What if this movie wasn't a Saw movie, and then they were like, "Let's make it Saw to help to like sell this Mass. whatever this is." Yeah, mm. yeah. Because I know that it was written by the same people that did Jigsaw, and I think have had some connection in other horror movies. But like, you know, Jigsaw comes out, you know, like to 10 years after the last Saw, you know, 7 to 8 years after the last Saw movie came out. And then, you know, so maybe they're like working on some other kind of movie that like has horror elements, that has some of these similar elements of Saw or like a Hostel or something, but it's like not Saw. And then they're like, what if we just make it Saw, you know, like to kind of help get it some fire behind it.
I mean, that does happen. They did that right, with, yeah. Cloverfield, yeah. Cloverfield
Lane, yeah.
Yeah, they've done it. I guess you're right, Bray. There's something to, if it wasn't a part of the Saw franchise, I feel like they may have been able to. To me, that's very interesting about this is seeing a cop, a black cop, dealing with corrupt police. And pretty sure people heard like this many cases. There was this black woman who reported like a corrupt cop who was like harassing black people, and she ended up getting fired and then just won a lawsuit. So, like, this happens so much. And I'm like, you still could have the killer hunting them down, but like really exposing what they did. So much so would have been interesting as if the public would have found out about the corruption of these police officers to see if the, because to me, there's something interesting about like the public being like, oh, these are the bad cops. Like the police won't deal with this. So it's like, oh, this person's doing it. How does the public feel about this guy or woman taking down the people they can't trust? Like, it's something about that. Like, that's interesting.
Right.
Let me tell you, I thought it would have been really interesting if Chris Rock turned on his father at the end, because he didn't know any of that shit. And like, as he was learning it, like, had he just been like,
what did he say about his father again?
Well, just that his dad was, he knew that his dad was upset about, you know, the fact that he outed his partner, but like his dad and the head of the department have both been like putting things under the rug and like changing reports and like covering for all these cops for years. And he didn't know that, like, he didn't know how deep and how dirty they were, you know?
He knew.
So I thought it was really interesting. I thought it would have been a really interesting ending had they done that. I also have a couple thoughts of things they could have changed too. But
what's up, folks? This podcast is sponsored by Earnin. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn could be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day, or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Think about it. Say you're going out for a special date, or it's getting hot, y'all. You might need a fresh outfit for brunch or something nice, or maybe you just want to feel good and take yourself to dinner. Earnin can help you today. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine. Enjoying Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Mm-hmm. Download Earnin today. That's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Jump Under Podcast when you sign in. It'll help the show out. Jump Under Podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period. See earnin.com/DOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by the new Disney Plus original series, American Born Chinese. Based on the graphic novel by Gene Luen Yang, American Born Chinese tells the story of an average teenager that becomes entangled in a battle with Chinese mythological gods. This star-studded cast includes Academy Award winners Michelle Yeoh and Ke Huy Quan, plus Daniel Wu, Jim Leo, and Ben Wong. American Born Chinese, premiering May 24, exclusively on Disney Plus.
Priceline presents, go to your happy price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else. Like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
This started with just some guy walking around an amusement park, and somebody steals a purse, and he follows this person, and he follows them down a, sewer, and then he sees this. He gets captured. They all get captured by not realizing somebody's behind them, and that person then puts a bag over their head.
These first two were cool. Because there's a mannequin down there in the sewer dressed like the dude that he was chasing. It was so creepy, elaborate and creepy and weird. And then the next one did something similar, and then they didn't do any more like that after. But I thought that was it was like so elaborate and cool. You know, you're like, how did he do all of this? Like, how did he set all of this up so perfectly? But then the guy wakes up and he's, his tongue is in a thing, and he's like hanging.
Tongue is in a trap, and he's, barely like tippy toeing on a creaky little step ladder.
I'm a mutual, y'all talk about that.
And his hands are tied to barbed wire, and and then he sees the video, and the video's like, hey, you're a corrupt cop. You've lied on the oath, putting innocent people behind bars for many years. So
it's
either you take this leap and rip out your lying tongue that has done so much damage and live, or you're going to get hit by the 2 train that's coming right now.
Listen, I hate this shit, right? Y'all know I hate this shit, but the whole time I was watching, I was just like, bro, you got to jump, bro. Bro, you just got to jump, bro. Hey, hey, fuck your tongue, bro. Jump. It's just like the eye thing in the beginning. The guy takes so long. Granted, it's ripping out his tongue, and granted, it's poking out your eyes. So like, it's gonna take way more than 2 minutes for me to figure out how I'm gonna bring myself to doing this, right? But it's just like, bro, you about to get hit by this damn train if you don't jump off this thing. And he just like the guy with the eyes. It's until he realizes, oh no, this train is really going to hit me. And then both happen. It's like, if you would have just.
Yeah. You get the pain. You get the pain right before your death.
See, y'all got to wave when y'all done talking about it. Because it's just too nasty. I skip by it. I got to just wave. I can't listen to it.
I mean, he just explodes. His body explodes.
Explodes on the front of the train. It was incredible. Yeah. It was incredible. I hate this shit. It was incredible.
That's right. So nasty. This movie is disgusting.
They zoom in on the tongue hanging there. And there's other, you know, just the whole. They ain't have to zoom in on the tongue.
Yo.
Okay, I'm just done. I ain't even
literally once they had to go, every time they went to a crime scene, I barely watched when they were at the crime scene. This shit is disgusting. It is utterly disgusting.
Yeah,
that's gross. And then after this is when we got the shot of Chris Rock, who was you watched this on the plane, Bray? Was it did they censor it?
No, they didn't censor squat. And there was a kid next in the row across from me, and I kept being like, I really hope this kid does not look at my screen. And I was like, I don't know what to do. But then there was a time in which the announcement came on, you know, and the announcement comes on, it pauses the screen, and it paused on the shot of a bloody something. I forgot even what it was, skin or whatever. And I was just like, oh, this is gross. Dude, this movie is gross. We meet Chris Rock,
who was just doing stand-up bits for some reason. While he's undercover,
yeah,
just straight up stand-up.
I'm sorry. They cut to Chris Rock, and he's just out here talking about Forrest Gump. He's just doing a stand-up bit about, man, Forrest Gump, he does anything for Jenny, right? You know Forrest Gump and Jenny? There's run Forrest. You know, why is he?
Why is he doing
and
this
she
bit?
Wouldn't do anything for him until
she gave him AIDS.
She had AIDS.
Yeah. She gave him AIDS. I was like, what is happening, yo?
And it was just so funny. I was just like, wow, this dude is doing a bit literally from the 90s.
Yeah.
I was like, you wrote this bit in the 90s and you're doing it in 2021.
He just never got to do it on stage. He realized he had never got to do it on stage. And he was like, this is a good time for that. Forrest Gump.
I thought it was a period piece, to be honest.
It was funny. It was a good bit.
And then, you know, we realized
I thought it was two at first, but it's not a period piece, though.
No, it's not. I thought it was because of how dated the Forrest Gump stuff was. This nigga just tell old jokes. That's just what this is. We see him behind this. We see him, and now we get the classic rogue cop.
All I was going to say was I just remember people talking about what this movie was, and they were saying maybe it's a prequel. Maybe it's an origin type thing. Like in the early days before we knew what the movie was. And so you saying that you thought it was a period piece, I'm wondering if that was even just residual from people talking about that when the trailer came out or when the movie was announced.
I didn't know too much. Did you know, Bray?
No, I didn't know much at all. I mean, it was clear once the movie got started that it wasn't a period piece, because they very much were like, oh my god, is there another copycat Jigsaw killer?
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I guess this is coming out after all those movies. So they knew about the killer because he's leaving these spirals, even though the first person. Oh, yeah. And it's just also there's this whole scene with Chris Rock, and he's like, he's stealing from drug dealers, and then they go, and then they get caught by these cops, and they're like, but then you realize he's a cop. And he was like, oh, you blew my cover. And you're like, okay. And then you very quickly find out that nobody in the precinct likes him. He doesn't want a partner because he can't trust anybody anymore because he ratted out a dirty cop and everybody hates him because of that. And that Samuel Jackson is his dad and was the police chief before.
Yeah. I said this to y'all off mic, but I was so mad that the trailer showed Samuel Jackson in a trap and also Chris Rock in a trap. I think in that first video, in that first Jigsaw video, they say one man refused to change, or one cop refused to change, and he will be tried last, and they will be tried last. And it was just like, okay, well, that's Samuel Jackson. Like, I just knew that, that's the one who, you know, like he must have been corrupt back in the past. But it's only because of me having seen this trailer. I don't know. People got to be better about trailers. You can't show Chris Rock.
I was hoping that Samuel Jackson was the bad guy.
Oh, you thought he was the bad guy.
To me, it's like, if you're going to do a twist, I was hoping he was the bad guy. Because I'm like, the original Saw, it was literally the corpse on the floor the whole time. So I was like, okay, that came out of nowhere. So in my mind, I was like, oh, this is going to be like a really good twist. Something's going to happen where Samuel Jackson's like, I had to deal with all these corrupt motherfuckers and I hated it. They do this, this, and this. This is my way to finally get back after like decades of being harassed in the system and blah, 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 threatened. They tried to kill my son. I'm killing you motherfuckers. But no, that wasn't what they did. It was the white boy. And I was like, all right, cool.
Even though it was pretty obvious that it was this young detective the whole time for all those reasons that Bray said, I did like the sort of general rendering of like the twist wise of them like going back and being like, I mean, he's basically been telling you this whole time, like, your dad's the reason I did that. You know, all of those little things. And then the like kind of like the matching of the puppet and the thing. I was like, all right, that's cool. You know, I mean, it's not super impactful because we could kind of see a little bit of this coming. But like the fact that there were so many little hints the whole time, and like he was just like, I was just telling you this the whole time. If you just wasn't paying enough, you weren't paying enough attention. I thought that was kind of cool.
I mean, it was fine. Sure. I was just like, if you're gonna have a cop revenge story, a dirty cop revenge story, I gotta watch this little white boy get revenge. I was like, man, all right. I was like, all
right. Right. That's the part. Well, that's the thing about all of this that makes it more complicated was that I actually don't even mind that the killer being white. It's just that we didn't really get to have a lot of the, I think, moral conflict between, like, it's a good thing that these dirty cops are being killed, or not being killed, but it's like these dirty cops are being taken down, but they're being brutally murdered. You know what I mean? And it's like, but it's like part of it, it's like, oh, they're getting a taste of their own medicine, you know. But it's like, we didn't get to sit in that as much. Like the public is not involved in this at all, because they're like keeping it from the public.
Yeah.
And like, there's also this thing of like, oh, cops are being killed. Like that's terrifying. But like, because of the nature of the movie and how, and like the scope in which they were allowed to film it, it never really felt like, there never really felt like the massive manhunt that you know there would be if there was somebody killing.
Oh my goodness. You know what I mean? FBI would have been there.
It felt a little bit, it just felt a little too easy for this guy to do all the things that he wound up doing. And I didn't really question it, the logic of it much, because I just kind of accepted it, you know? Mm-hmm. But like those elements of it, we're not really there. And so the movie feels very simple. It feels like they just keep up. They're like, all right, let's just now look, go to the next cop who's going to die. And like, come up with another Saw-like contraption that's going to hurt these people. It's like they cared more about coming up with the different Saw-like contraptions than they did about the actual content of the film and the themes and stuff. And so that's why I'm saying, like, it's like the Saw stuff kind of took away from what's somewhat of an interesting element of like, what if there was a movie in which there was a serial killer who was just killing dirty, corrupt cops? And then like, what does the public think about that? What does the lead detective who's black, who's chasing this guy, think about that?
Yeah.
What is the, you know, how, you know, what, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't really get that stuff. And the other thing about, the other reason why it was so unbelievable that this rookie partner, when we're supposed to think that he died, it's so unbelievable because the movie, throughout the whole movie, they're very clearly setting up that this is some sort of revenge, that all these people are connected, and they're connected to Chris Rock personally. And so it's like, when this rookie dies, it's like, well, they didn't even give a reason for why the rookie died, other than like to get under his skin. But it's like, if Chris Rock is the one cop who's not corrupt and all the cops who are being killed are corrupt, then why would this person be torturing Chris Rock specifically?
Just
didn't add up.
It also didn't feel like choosing to pinpoint Zeke during all of the correspondence with Jigsaw 2, during the first couple before the rookie cop dies, it seemed like all of that correspondence was simply because he was the lead detective, and because, you know, like that he was a detective that stood up against this. So like him being like, I'm doing this to get under your skin didn't make sense for that reason either, because it almost seemed like he was only talking to the lead detective because, like, I know you're the lead detective and I also know you're a cop, a good cop, you know? So that was weird. That was weird too.
I wish they would have done something, just thinking about what Braylock was saying. It is so interesting because Chris Rock is Black, and I feel like they purposely wanted to talk about, like, police in a way. In the later Saw movies, he always had an accomplice. What if, like, yeah, like, what if, like, I think, James, you said it, like, what if Chris Rock at the end was helping the dude the whole time and recruited the kid and, like, confessed to his dad, like, you didn't care. Like, you allowed these people to do this for so many years. Like, you're a part of the problem. I became a cop to help people, and you just allowed these corrupt people to, like, shoot and maim and do whatever they wanted. And then, like, him, because imagine that shot of, like, them doing the puppet thing and then Chris Rock and the other dude is like, goodbye, and then just slam the fucking door. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a much better movie to see. I don't know. It just sucks. I feel like we lost something a little bit. Like, they wanted to talk about it, but then they didn't. And that feels like a cop-out to me. Ah, you get it?
They actually just seemingly only wanted to talk about corrupt cops in a vacuum of what is a corrupt, like a cops being corrupt, instead of bringing in the race element, because had they brought in the race element, like Chris Rock would have then gone on like a had a huge monologue about, like, you know, you're covering up for all this, you're just as bad as, you know, and then he would brought up Trayvon Martin, he would have brought up, you know what I mean, like he would have just brought up these other, or within this world, if this is like a different New York City,
right?
You know, he would have brought up other examples of things like that, but they like didn't talk about race at all.
Nah, they didn't. And in that sense of it too, it makes it a little bit, it makes the last image feel a little dirtier, because you're like, well, you weren't really talking about race at all, and now you're just using this image to evoke something without actually touching on these issues in any meaningful way. And so that feels like, it feels a little dirty, especially, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're just using it, you know, as like a punchline, even though it doesn't seem like this movie necessarily cares about race. And you're talking about corrupt cops, but you're not talking about the racial component of it at all. You know,
he's also like very clearly strapped to weird machinery. Like what? Like I know he had something in his hand and it was raised, but we all see the strings he's attached to.
Yeah.
And everyone, well, I guess particularly this SWAT team that's converging on someone firing may not think it's connected to the jigsaw of it all.
Correct.
Right? We're supposed to think that they're just a random SWAT team, right? But like,
I think they are, right?
The whole SWAT team showed up. The whole team showed up for just a guy. If the point of this last image is a Black man with a gun gets riddled by police, in the phone call, he doesn't even say there's a Black man with a gun going crazy, right? Like, he just says there's a man shooting. I don't know, it's weird. I generally like where the movie goes, but I thought that the ending could have there were other adjustments they could have made to the ending too, and for the reason of this sort of being a little bit lackluster.
The writers know and the directors know that the audience is going to think about a Black man getting shot by cops because he's lifting up a gun.
Yeah.
But in the universe of the movie, the race element isn't there
at all.
You know, that's what I'm at all. So that's the thing. It's like they're using that image, knowing what it means, but also can be like, well, we're not really talking about race. It's just, you know, this is just about cops. like bad cops and how cops like to shoot first. It's really race doesn't have anything to do with it. Even though, of course, it does, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the same if the person, if Samuel Jackson isn't black. You know what I mean? Like, if that's a white cop raising a gun, it's like, it still works technically, but the image isn't as provocative, which they definitely wanted it to be. Because that's how he dies. All the other people died in other ways.
No, but you're right. It's weird because it's... Because you're right. Because that makes it racial, but then we don't talk about it the whole movie. So it feels like, why? And also, this whole movie... And also, if it is racial, it makes me even more mad because what you're saying without saying it is, instead of having that be like a white guy or a blonde white woman, the black dude is the big bad of this whole thing. The black dude literally,
he was the big bad of the whole. That's why what I mean by I liked the ending,
right.
Like I like that we see a pig cop marionette raise a gun and then be shot. And then we see like that, because essentially these people that have been being killed and like pushed aside have all been manipulated. The public have all been manipulated by Samuel Jackson, right? Like essentially under Article 8, they were going around and like legally mowing down innocent people in order to protect the sanctity of, you know, of the NYPD or whatever. So what I like about the ending is like now he's his puppet, you know, like I like that. But in terms of like, in terms of like all of the when you start thinking about the race element of it and how the movie is using it, that's when it starts getting dicey to me. Like had it been a different, like had it been a cop of a different race, I would have been like, oh yeah, this is great. You know, like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But you then start thinking about too much. But like, yes, like the whole movie, the big bad has been this corrupt black cop that's been sort of always brushing things under the, you could have flipped Samuel Jackson and the head of the department. Probably. That's probably the only potential flip you could have been because of the personal connection. That's also why he's last, right? Like there's this sort of deep personal connection.
No, you're totally right. But I didn't think about it until like Braylock said it. This is that last trap is clearly like a racial trap. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a black dude getting mowed down. My thing is if you're going to do that, I think now thinking about it, if we're really dissecting it, what bothers me is that big bad is a black dude and is being taken down by an aggrieved white boy. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're going to do the race thing, that's fine, but then just do it all the way. Have Chris Rock deal with the fact that like these cops are white and corrupt. Like have him literally deal with the fact that like his dad is corrupt, but then also like, I think Braylock's right. Like we didn't really get into it. We really didn't address it. So you had this black dude die at the end and I guess was innocent and got shot by like his own people, but it didn't need to be that black dude. Like to me, you could have like, even though I get it, James, they're related, but it's like, you could have had like somebody over Sam Jackson. You could have literally had the white dude that we've seen oppress black people for decades.
They could have flipped him and the head of the department. I think they could have done that.
I still think it would have been better if Sam would have been the bad guy. Like, you know what I mean? Anyway.
But I mean, well, that wouldn't have made any sense.
Yeah, it makes less sense.
Why would he be killing these other cops?
If Sam Jackson was the bad guy, he could have been aggrieved of decades long of like when he was black and as a cop. Black cops was getting harassed until like the 90s. So like he had to have been doing that. If he was a quote unquote good cop and had to deal with the paperwork, had to cover up these cops that he knew were bad and there was nothing he could do about it, he could have had decade long of aggrievement. His son almost was killed because one of those corrupt cops he couldn't get rid of didn't protect him and didn't have his back and he was right there. So like it could have been his way of finally giving justice. Cause like,
yeah.
Here we go. The whole thing with Saul is Jigsaw had cancer and was dying anyway. And his whole thing was some of these people had to really figure out like what life was, whether they wanted to live, and he gave them a choice. Are they gonna live or die? Sam Jackson could have been a person that say, like, I don't know, he could have had something that was killing him. And he's like, before I go, I want to dole out justice in a way that like I never had an opportunity to, because he was aggrieved. I don't know. It didn't need to be that little white kid. That's
yeah,
all.
It could be what James was saying. If Samuel Jackson was the chief, the police chief, like the current police chief, and at the end we find out he's been doing all this, and Chris Rock's like, why? Like, you're the police chief. Like, you could have just fired these people if they're corrupt. And he was like, I couldn't. And this is my whole thing, is that I thought I could change it once I got to this position, and I realized I couldn't change it at all. And the only way to change it is to eliminate these people. Like, that's the only, it's, violence is the only thing that they know, and that's the only way that you'll ever solve it, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you could have made him the big bad. And that, again, that would have been way more interesting, because it would have also been more about race than this movie really is. Mm-hmm. This movie is like about, like, this movie wants, is using the images and what they know the audience is going to think about race-wise without ever actually having to touch it and ever really getting into it, so that they can kind of acquit themselves of like any, like if somebody was like, oh, this was about race, they could be like, no, it wasn't.
When did we talk?
That's what you're thinking, you know? And it's like, well, F you.
You're right.
I thought Samuel Jackson, when they cut the door open, was just going to be pulled, like ripped apart limb from limb. Like,
same.
You know, like that's what I just, he had all these things. I was like, oh man, we're about to see like one of the most gruesome deaths ever.
That it was going to release something that like crushed him. That was what I was thinking might happen. Like as soon as it snaps the thing, like a giant cinder block like comes down and like completely flattens him.
Right. But when the gun comes out, it's like, oh wow. And then you're like, goodness. Like, it's like for him to face it, because he's a black man, it does feel weird. It feels like, because then it's like it's not even that satisfying, because you're like, yes, in the story that the movie's telling, Samuel Jackson is the big bad because he was the one who was the most corrupt, I guess, because he was in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. It still feels like, okay, but how are you going to eliminate, like, now you're just trying to make it seem like, well, all police are corrupt, black, white, whatever, and race has nothing to do with it. It's just bad cops versus good cops. And you're like, okay, but race has a lot to do with it. You know, like, and so to talk about police corruption without talking about race feels like, I don't know, it feels weak. So I don't know, like that, like I said, the elements of this movie, there's a lot of interesting something to it. The Saw aspect of it is kind of unnecessary and maybe takes away, but even so, like, they could have still done it within the Saw universe and still made it, I think, a stronger film. That said, like I said, this movie does more than most horror movies do, because most horror movies don't even try to do anything. They're just
violent.
I feel like most of these Saw films are just, it's just this. It's just this without anything interesting that you want to see more of. It's just.
Also, why was it in May? Why did it come out in May and not Halloween? Like, Saw's come out at Halloween.
I mean, horror films all
the heat wave. They wanted us to.
Not every Saw came out in Halloween.
Oh, really? I thought they all came out Halloween.
But also, the movie is a summer movie.
Yeah.
Like,
it takes place
in
the summer. We're like dealing with.
All right. Well.
Yeah, I think it's like horror films that think they're not going to do great won't come out Halloween because it's like a lot of competition. You know.
They should have did February, January. That's the new dumping month move. That's like, hey, we got a movie that probably would.
That's
be
true.
Good.
February is a horror. February, March. A horror month for sure.
No, man, but you know what? Like, I don't even have anything to say to Hollywood for this movie, because it's hard, because I usually don't want a movie to talk about race, But this is a movie about corrupt police officers with a black lead. So it's like, it felt like you needed to talk about race because you set it up that way. You set it up. We're going to talk about race. We're going to kill this big bad in a very racial way. So it's like, Hollywood, man, just if you're going to do it, do it. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to do the thing, just address it. Like, just try to be as creative as possible. But also, I'm looking at who wrote this, and it was the old white writers with Chris Rock doing like punch ups, I guess. So it's like, yeah, maybe these guys wouldn't know what to write. Maybe they didn't know how to do it. But also, it's like, then if you don't know how to do it, should you do it?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that question because I'm like, at that point, it's like, you know what it is? It feels like this is the thing, and maybe this is too personal, but it feels like because quote unquote diversity is in, people are now trying to tell more stories with black and brown people as the forefront, but the people behind the scenes are still not a part of those communities. So it's like they don't know how to address the thing they're trying to profit off of because it feels like they're doing it for profit, not because like, yeah, let's tell some of these black and brown stories. It's like, oh, it's better. We look better if we tell these stories, but we don't check in. Motherfuckers gonna have to start phoning a friend. We should start that. We should start a production company that is just like, is this racist? And that way people can call us when they have a script idea or a story point. They're like, hey, is this dumb or racist? And we can be like, yes. And have them pay us like 50 grand each time. You're welcome, fellas. You're welcome. I just put our kids through college.
You're actually right. Every other Saw film came out in October.
Yeah, why the... Man, don't get me started. They Catwoman to Chris Rock. That's what they did.
I'll just say that, like, I feel like a thing that they could have changed about the ending, because, like, I don't know, like, it felt like they were sort of setting up this thing of, like, the cop clearly was, like, only there trying to, like, help out to try to weed out corrupt cops, right? And he clearly like really looked up to Chris Rock and like really like wanted to look up to Chris Rock and like follow Chris Rock's lead. But then like Chris Rock does that whole thing where he like breaks into the drug dealer's place without a warrant and then like, you know, like pours alcohol on his wound and like, you know, like all of that stuff. And it's like clear like that he's a little uneasy with that, you know, and like at the time, like fully knowing that he's the Jigsaw, I was like, oh, great. Maybe this will be the reason that he turns against Chris Rock and like puts Chris Rock under the, you know, puts Chris Rock in the chain and makes him try to saw his arm off or whatever it is. Right. So like I thought like at the end they could have been like, you know, he's like, if you don't do this, if you don't go along with me, I'm going to put this on you because you're not as clean, you know, you're not as clean as you think you are. Right. And then like, just as like that, you know, and he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like he's like listening to him. And like, just as Chris Rock is like going to like shoot his dad, like suddenly like, a basketball with a pig head comes flying out, knocks the gun out of his hand. It's like, you said, hey, you don't you dare shoot your father. Don't you dare shoot your dad right now. Don't. And Steel. So Steel is in the Saw, is in the Book of Saw as well. And then he's like, and then Steel is like, I got a hammer. I'll shoot it down. I'll do the, you know. And so then he uses his hammer to fire on the spiral, and then that gets Samuel Jackson down, and then it's Steel versus Shank and Chris Rock because Chris Rock has now joined forces with Shank, you know. And so then it.
Braylock,
you know,
you let him keep going like this.
I just feel like that would have been really cool if they would keep going, huh?
I thought it was going to end in a better way, but...
Oh, so you were trying to help. In your mind,
it was a pretty good ending.
Well, the shooting... I mean, like, the shooting, there was something to it, because it was like, oh, yeah, it's like kind of like he has to shoot a free throw. He only has one bullet. He's got to hit that target, you know.
That's what happened. You know, like, he does it with the hammer.
Hey, bro, like, you still gonna let?
He does it with that.
Can you just say the end? Can you just end the podcast, please?
Real quick. Also, Max Minghella is his name. That's the other guy. Just to be clear, like, we called him white, but he is part Asian.
He's half Asian.
And the father. Well, the father looked like he was kind of like Southeast Asian descent.
So there it is. People of color versus the police.
The father, his father in the movie looked like he was of Southeast Asian descent when they showed that.
Oh, wow.
But
can we look him up?
Emerson. Frank Licari.
Oh, there it is.
Licari. But like Frank is not just white, right? He looks like he's something.
Oh, I mean, you know, he got that olive skin, so.
He's got the olives. I don't know. He looks like something. Okay, yeah, he's something.
All right, let's end this. Lord have mercy.
We rate and review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of leading black actors in Hollywood. So if it fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. If it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. On the count of three, we'll raise up our ratings for this movie. Spiral from the Book of Saul. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3. Wait, ooh. I don't see what you... I gave it a fist. What did you guys give it?
I think Gerard gave it a palm.
Yeah, oh. I have two palms.
Light is very... Yeah, I gave it a palm as well.
Oh, wow. All right. You guys want to say why you gave it a palm?
Yeah, man. This movie was fine.
Yeah, I mean...
What?
It was fine. It's a Saw movie.
He said the movie was fine. That's
yeah, but it's not based on whether we like the movie or not, Gerard.
Who did it help? Chris Rock is Chris Rock.
I gave it a palm because... I gave it a palm because...
James, James?
Just thinking about how... Right. I mean, I gave it a palm too. Why are you talking?
No, I was looking for you to assist me. Like that? I was looking for you to help me out because Braylon talking about something that's not based on whether we like it. I'm like, I know because it ain't helping.
I'm gonna say why I gave it a palm right now. you started yelling at me while I was saying what. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's Chris Rock and Samuel Jackson, so it's not like it's not like the movie itself is promoting more leading black actors, but I don't think that like those actors, like young black actors seeing those actors aren't going to be like inspired to continue working. I think because like the movie, basically a lot of this stuff we've been saying about the race commentary and lack thereof, sort of kind of leaving it, making it a little bit more complicated of a message. I think that because of that, I don't want to promote the exploitation of black bodies, you know, and especially of mutilated black bodies. But because of the things that I do like about what it's putting forward and the fact that there are black people in the lead, that's why I gave it a palm but couldn't give it a full fist.
Gerard?
No, it's fine.
Gerard said it's fine.
It's fine. It didn't help. Like if that assistant would have been like a young black dude, I'm like, great, this nigga's in a movie. But no, it didn't help. Nope. Who did it help? I don't know. Nobody.
There was that one guy. How much stuff has he been in? The other corrupt cop?
I don't know.
I didn't recognize him from anything, but the other cop.
Oh, did he wind up dying? He didn't wind up dying, did he?
No, he did.
Another black cop.
He just vanished from the movie.
Which is kind of weird. Yeah, he just vanished. The reason I gave it a fist is because, yes, Chris Rock is already famous, but, you know, he's not in a lot of movies. And he's not in comedies, and he wanted to do a horror film, and they let him do it, you know? And then also, you know, it's just like, I think it's good for people to see black actors getting to play the leads of horror films, because it doesn't happen as often as I feel like. It's like, why doesn't it? I don't know. But I get what you guys are saying.
That other actor's name is Casey Collins, and he has a very illustrious career.
All right. Well, that's Spiral from the Book of Saw. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. You could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at blackmanpodcast.com. We have a show this week.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Thursday, 7 p.m. If you live in Los Angeles, it's at the Comedy Nook. Please come on out. We're going to have a great lineup. We'll put it on our website, blackmanpodcast.com is our website. You'll find links to our merchandise. You'll find links to a defunct Patreon. No new episodes there, but we do have a year's worth of episodes. So if you feel like paying us $5 a month, you'll get access to those. And then you can unsubscribe whenever you like. Also, if you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we will read your reviews on the air. I'll read one now. This one is from I'm That Dude Too Smooth.
Hey.
I don't think I read this one.
I'm That Dude Too Smooth.
This one, it says, cool. This podcast is very entertaining. And as comedic actors, I have noticed that it is very hard for comedic actors to make a good movie and be celebrated for it. For example, Eddie Murphy, Adam Sandler, Kevin Hart, just to name a few, all make very funny blockbuster films. But if they try to go for that Oscar, I can't read the rest of it because iTunes is doing that weird thing where it's not showing me the whole thing.
Dang.
I'm sorry.
What a swindle.
Where was it going?
Wow, what a swindle.
That's messed up.
No.
iTunes is messed up for that. Thank you. I'm That Dude Too Smooth.
I'm pretty sure it was a beautiful message.
All I see is if they go for that Oscar-worthy film, they, and then it cuts out.
Oh, it was going to be good. I could feel it. It was going to be a good one. It was going to be a good message.
It was going to be good, wasn't it?
Yep, I felt it.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The ghost with the most past due child support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!